Audacity Magazine and Events is celebrating a half a decade of amplifying young professionals and small businesses. Join them Saturday, June 1st at Independent Distilling in Decatur, Georgia for their fifth anniversary party running from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Enter the nonprofit raffle benefiting the Lost and Found Youth for a chance to win a prize from one of the event's sponsors. Shop business vendor markets, enjoy music by DJ Hecno Beats, and sip on the Audacity cocktail created especially for this event by the distillery's expert mixologist. This event is absolutely free for guests to attend, no RSVP, no sign-up needed. For more information on the event, visit audacitymagazine.org, and to inquire about sponsorships, email audacitymagonline@gmail.com. That's audacity, M-A-G, online at gmail.com. Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time, where we change the narrative by changing the perspective. I'm Jared Dam, and it's about damn time to have another conversation that changes the way you think and perceive things. The only question is, are you ready? Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. I am Jared Dam, back in the building once again. And if you're new here, or even if you're not, explain to you what this is exactly. It's About Damn Time. It's my self-journey. It's my self-discovery. I'm trying to build a better me, and hopefully through my conversations and revelations, as I talk to my hands when I do this, so hopefully with my conversations and revelations, I am helping you build a better you. And y'all, it's about damn time we are talking about human design. This is a subject that I wanted to get into for quite some time. I have the great Karen Page here with me, who is a human design guy. I think that's how I saw it in your Instagram self. So I nailed it right beforehand. See, research does work. See what I'm doing there? But I'm very excited. First of all, let me get ahead of myself.
Hey, Jared, how you doing?
Hello. Hi. Hey. I'm doing great. I'm trying to like hold in the giggles, you know, but it doesn't matter.
No, you could have giggled. I was saying stuff so you giggled. I'm like, man, this shit ain't working.
You never know. You're supposed to like be quiet until, you know,
et cetera.
Okay.
Oh, no. This one is about the old time. You be yourself here. Like, no, right. So I am. As you can see, I had to compose myself because I am very excited to talk to you, because usually, I'm not trying to be braggadocious here, but usually, I know a little bit about everything, you know what I mean? So people lean on me and ask me questions about stuff, and I'm the human Google machine. If I don't really know it, I know where to look to find the answer. I don't know nothing. I don't know shit about human design. I'm excited about it. I know just a little enough to be like, I want to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. And so finding you in your own threads, and you mentioning you wanted to be on podcast, I felt like it was fate. I was like, yes, this is what I've been looking for. I had it on my list for a while, so you're here, and I'm so thankful that you're here. Thank you.
I'm grateful that you reached out, because anytime I get to just introduce somebody to these concepts, especially if it's very new and unfamiliar, I get really excited about that, because I just feel like human design is a really cool tool to have in your back pocket when you're on your like self-discovery, personal development journey. It's just like it's like there's so many different avenues you can take, like astrology or Myers-Briggs, like Enneagram, all kinds of things that like tell you who you are and help you make sense of it. But so yeah, I'm like, let's put another tool in your toolkit.
Yeah, I love that you brought those particular tools up. Some of those probably people who listen are familiar with. I'm familiar with you know with them, and I dabble in astrology. You know what I mean? I know my big three. You know what I mean? Like, you know,
yeah,
I know what you I know we in Mercury retrograde. I know my Mercury sign. Like, I be, you know, like, so when I'm on TikTok and I'm scrolling and some astrology stuff pop, I go to co-stars so I can be like, okay, what planet am I here, you know, for Mars? You know what I mean? Like, I'm here, you know?
But okay.
It's a little different with human design. So I guess the first question is, what exactly is human design, is it? Because I do the same thing to get human design that I do to get my astrology and the big three and all the other planets. Is it like astrology on steroids, or is it something different?
You could call it that. I like to think of it as like astrology with an extra layer of specificity, right? So you have a chart. It is based on your birth details, right? So birthday, time, location. It will give you like planetary placements and stuff like that. So it's like, I like to think of it as like a mixtape of different ancient wisdoms and modern science, because it's got astrology in there. There are these things called energy centers, which are a lot like chakras. So root chakra, sacral chakra, solar plexus. But in human design, it's just referred to as the centers, right? And then, you know, it's about energy. It's about frequency. So if you're somebody who's like, you know, the energy we put out and the frequencies attract what comes to us in the universe, et cetera, et cetera, that is a component of human design as well. So it's really just like, you know, if I were to say, well, you have, you know, particular in your Jupiter, you've got this, da 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 da. If you had an astrology background, then it might just be kind of easier for you to understand human design in that way. But it's, I like to think of it as like it's its own thing. It's almost like if you're a human computer, your human design gets to be your operating manual.
Okay. You can be a mixtape and operating manual, because first of all, you know, mixtape, love it. I'm ready for a mixtape. I'm ready for a good mixtape. So I'm already ready for that. But operation manual is very interesting to me, because now I can, you know, I can see how I'll move around, because some, which here, Karen, we frame this right. So sometimes Karen call me knowing why I be doing the shit that I be doing. And so when you talk about operations manual, I'm like, so I can figure out why I be doing the shit that I be doing. I'm all on board for that. I'm good for that. Yeah.
Okay. So my curiosity gets piqued there, and I'm like,
okay,
would you like to talk more about, I don't know why I be doing the things I be doing, I just be doing them. Like, would you like to give me an example?
Man, I don't think we got enough time. This episode. But I will say this. I am, obviously, I'm a Taurus, so we are known to be bullheaded, you know, stubborn. I think how I move personally, I'm ruled by logic. I'm ruled by logic. I know that's nothing to do with Taurus sun, but I'm ruled by logic. And if I'm talking to someone who is emotional or just needs to emote, you know, just in general, like, or like, you know, want to understand the how, well, they don't even want to understand the how and the why. They're just like, I'm feeling my feelings and you need to hear my feelings. I'm like, I will listen to you. But what they got to do with what we talking about? Like I'm very matter of fact. Like I got like one water sign in my chart. You know what I'm saying? So I'm very a matter of fact in that regard. So sometimes that works to the advantage depending on who the audience is. And sometimes, you know, people might kind of call me an asshole. I'm not trying to be. I'm a nice guy. I'm just trying to figure out life. So maybe.
Okay. So now you got me like looking at your chart, because, okay, you say you're ruled by logic, emotions. You don't have time for other people's emotions, right?
I listen, but I'm going to try to fix it logically. For anything else.
So. Okay. Well, let's look. Is it okay if we look at your human design chart? Because this is interesting stuff that's coming up right now.
Yeah. Or do so we... No. I like this. Let's hop into it. So what I did earlier is that because I don't know anything about human design, and the reason why I wanted Karen here is I wanted to relate human design to how you can improve your, you know, your self-improvement, your personal development, your connections and relationships with people. Obviously, you will be struggling. So I submitted all my information to Karen. Karen has my chart, and now we'll kind of get into it, kind of talk about some of the things.
Yeah, I mean, because ultimately, like, the operations manual, truly what I think sets human design apart is it'll show you basically your strategy for moving through life in a way that's going to work for you and your energy. And when I say energy, I mean, like, your aura. Like, we all have, like, an energetic field around us at all times where energy is radiating out, where your people are picking up your vibe and energy is coming at you. Like, you're picking up other people's vibes, right? Like, does this feel, can you get down with this concept?
I can get down with it. Yeah.
Okay. So then based on your energy, that's your aura. You have a strategy for moving through life so that everything is more in flow for you. So if you're like, I'm doing something, but I'm not really seeing the outcomes that I thought, or I'm always reaching these roadblocks, or I'm always feeling frustrated, that's just a sign that you're probably not using the energy of your aura in a way that's intended for you based on your human design and your operations manual. So that's why what stuck out to me is, like, when you said emotions, the other piece that sets human design apart is everybody has an authority that they can turn to inside themselves based on their human design for how to make decisions that will put them in flow and match up with their strategy. So that's why I was like, you got your chart in front of you?
Yeah. So do I need to just, what's the best way to do this? Do we tackle, like, the type and strategies and go down the list?
We can do the cookie cutter thing where I could be like, aura, there's five different aura types. And they're like this, like this, and like this. Like, we can literally, we can approach this however way you want.
Karen, you rock. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to Z. Let's go.
Buckle up. Okay. I don't think you know who you're dealing with right now. Okay.
I love it. Let's go.
Okay. Yes. So there's, for the completely uninitiated, like I was talking about auras, right? There's five different types of auras. There's generators and manifesting generators. They're the most common. Most of the people on the planet are one of those two. And then we have projectors, manifestors, and reflectors. And so reflectors are like the rarest of the rare. But basically, each of those aura types have like a different combination of things about them that makes them unique and also informs their strategy, right? So like generators and manifesting generators, their thing is, like, you know, kind of going back to what we're saying about the chakras, and in human design we call them the energy centers. Generators and manifesting generators have a defined sacral center, which basically means they have a lot of really consistent, powerful energy to, like, do stuff, like a generator battery, for example, right? So, like, once that switch gets flipped on, they're going to go, and they might not necessarily know when to stop, right? So.
Oh.
For generators and manifesting generators, sometimes it's like you really have to feel activated by whatever you're saying yes to. You know what I mean? Like, just because you can do something, that doesn't mean you should. It's really about, if I say yes to this project, relationship, job, location change, Netflix choice, menu option at the restaurant, if I say yes to this, is it really going to be a satisfying use of my energy? Or is it a no?
Okay. Now you took it with high priest. Now you're talking to me right now.
Yeah.
Because as a people pleaser, I say yes to a lot of shit that I probably don't have any business saying yes to. And it's in a lot of different regards.
Well, I mean, and that's fair. And we also have to think of, like, just because you have this operations manual, it's not taking into context your lived experiences, right? It's only giving you half the story. So you think about how you were raised, what messages you grew up hearing, like, from a trauma-informed perspective, like, what was required of you in order to show up in the world as a people pleaser. Like, we have to take that in. We don't want to bypass life, you know what I mean?
But, like,
at its essence, you have... Now you know this about yourself. You have more options to be like, okay, well, is that how I want to continue to navigate life? Is that how I want to make decisions for myself? Or can I use my human design to try something new and see if I'd get some new results and if that feels more in flow for me, right? Yeah. And that's true for all aura types. Like, this whole idea of, like, do I want to commit and say yes to something? That's really more for the generators and the manifesting generators, because of their strategy is literally, like, wait to respond and wait to check in and be like, is it a yes or a no? You know what I mean?
Right.
For the other aura types, it's something different. Like, projectors, they're really, they have a lot of, like, openness in their aura. Like, stuff really comes to them. People want to be with projector energy.
Yeah.
Because projectors are here to be like mentors, facilitators, guides. They're the Mr. Miyagis. They're the Yodas. They're the Whoopi Goldbergs and Sister Act 2. You know what I mean?
See, I love all the references. I love all.
Right. But for the projector aura type, they're here to wait to be invited in, just because, you know, they got all this juice to be guiding people and bringing out the best in them. You can't mentor somebody who don't want to be mentored. You know what I mean? You can't guide somebody who didn't want to be guided. So projectors are really here to just be fabulous, be good at what they do, and trust that the more they show up in the world and just be great, the right people will be like, wow, you're great. Can you please come into my life and help me be great in my own way? Because I see that you know what you're doing.
See, all right, so this is the interesting, all you breaking down projector versus generator. So obviously I am a generator, but I do feel as though I try to operate as a projector, and that's probably the problem. Because go ahead.
Oh, no, trust me, I will interject, okay? I will interrupt. It's not unusual that you would say that, because in my opinion, generators and projectors have a lot in common, because it is that like waiting piece, that kind of like laying back in the cut and really trusting that it's meant to come to you, and then you say yes from there. But for projectors, it's more of like an invitation, whereas for generators, it's more like the outer world is just always giving you options. It's always like, hey, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you want to watch this? Do you want to, you know, eat Mexican? Or like, it's like all, there's so many options and things to respond to. So, but all of that is to say that you can find those similarities and be like, oh, I really can identify with a projector, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately it's like the world is responding to your aura as a generator. So that's still your strategy for interacting with the outer world or with the universe, et cetera.
Okay, so you broke down, and I know we talked about their file, but I know we're kind of focused on the projectors and the generators, which I also would encourage people to go to KarenPage.com and go to the chart and fill out the chart. Karen White is an R&B singer in the 80s. I'm sorry.
Yes, she was.
No, that's
all good. Okay. But my name is spelled Karen with a Y, Page with an I, and so it just kind of like flow. Okay,
yeah,
that's how
she spelled it. Karen, if you go to KarenPage.com and go to the chart, you can feel this stuff out, and then you can figure out where you are. I'm sitting there figuring out this generator thing for myself, because when I'm looking at how you talked about projectors are like the Yodas and the Mr. Miyagis, which, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking I was trying to be a Yoda, you know, I love Yoda. So I was trying to be a Yoda. How should I be moving then? If I'm a generator, how should I be moving through life?
Listen, I'm not going to tell you that you can't vibe with your Yoda energy, because there's some more advanced aspects of human design that's like, well, no wonder I could see that about you, right? Like, I can just look at your chart in like five different places and validate why you feel that way. You know what I mean? But what was your question?
How should I be moving as a generator? Yeah.
Okay, so your strategy as a generator is to wait to respond. And again, the waiting is because you want to make sure that when you flip that switch to say yes and start putting your very powerful sacral energy into something, you really want to do it, right? So that's your strategy. And I know for a lot of folks, I'm just going to pause here, it can be very confusing to wrap your mind around what the well, I was just supposed to wait around. I was just supposed to wait. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
So,
right.
Is that coming up for you right now?
Yeah. Yeah, because okay. The anxiety is up. Yeah, because I'm not really all that patient. So I'm like, I'm gonna wait right here. Like,
no, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. And I'm just so everybody knows, I'm also a generator. So, and I also deeply resonate with the projector aura type. Like, I'm like, are you sure? So I want to be like, you're not alone here. Okay. But
I'm not alone. Okay.
I like to think of it like this. Generators we're really here to just kind of surrender to the now and be very, very present. Like, because we're always being presented with options that are like, do you want this option? Do you want that option? Do you want to say yes to this? Do you want to say no? It's very like, I could just, if you were to just tell me, what do you do in a day? Like, you wake up and then what? And then what? And then what? I could then give you a list of questions and be like, do you like to do that? Yes or no. Do you want to do it a different way? Yes or no. So it's like, you're constantly being given stuff to respond to. And all you got to do is be like, yes or no, which is very, it seems like it's very complicated, but it's not.
It does feel complicated, but you know, as you break it down, when I wake up in the morning, and you're right, I looking at it from how you have just communicated, my life is just filled with random choices. Even like, okay, I'm working from home, my 9-to-5 job, and in addition to that, I'm working on podcast stuff, whether I'm producing podcasts or working on this show. As I'm working on it, it's like, do I work on the marketing part first? Do I work on this part first? Do I answer the phone when this person calls me because they really need to talk? Or do I sit there? So it's all like a yes or no type of thing for every scenario. So then when you break it down like that, it makes a lot of sense. And and for me, I guess for me, it always seems like everyone else thinks that it's an easy thing. It's a yes or no. It's easy to navigate. For me, it's like the tough decision because I feel like the path that I choose makes a big difference on how other people going to be affected for that day, how my life is going to run that day. And so it almost gets like paralyzing, like it's, paralysis by analysis.
Okay, so this is where we get into, well, then how do you know if it's a yes or a no? How can you simplify that decision-making process for yourself? Because I'm literally like, at the end of the day, it either gets to be a yes or a no, like simple, right? So part of that is where we come into this thing called the authority, right? And so the authority, like I said earlier, is where you check in with yourself to be like, how do I know if it's a yes or a no as a generator, right? Mm-hmm. Just so... And everybody has an authority. Every aura type has an authority, but there's a lot of different ones to choose from. But we're going to talk about you. We're going to use you as a guinea pig. Is that okay?
Okay. Guinea pig away. Hey. Guinea pig away.
So I just want to double check because we did have like a little snafu with the time of your birth when I put in your chart. So I just want to double check. For you, it says you're an emotional generator. Is that right? Your authority is?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
And so
something with the solar plexus, which I feel like it's going to make a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
So this is why it was so funny when you're like emotions, boundaries. Because for you, the authority that you turn to within yourself for that inner wisdom is your emotions.
So I'm just completely confused with what you're saying to me.
No, I'm saying it's like. You get to say yes or no depending on how it's going to make you feel emotionally.
Okay.
And then you get to back that up with that sacral yes of like the sacral energy of like, I really want to activate that generator battery switch and really follow through on this. So it's like for you, your strategy is to wait to respond and you'll get clear on if it's a yes or no based on how you're feeling emotionally. And then backing that up with like, do I actually want to move forward with this? Because it would feel like a satisfying use of my energy.
I don't think I'm winning right now at that. So when you break it down like that from the authority to the four, okay? Because I'm making a lot of my decisions not based on how I feel about things, I make a lot of my decisions based upon how other people want to feel about things, showing up as their people pleaser. We hadn't got to that point about the solar plexus yet. So I don't know how this relates, but I do know I hear a bit about chakras, and I know that, you know, when I had Reiki people on to talk about Reiki, you know, shout out to my friend Janae, that she basically told me my solar plexus chakra and the sacral chakra was all messed up. So
no doubt.
So I guess that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so just so we're on the same page, the solar plexus is the same as like the emotional center. So in human design, I'm looking at your emotional solar plexus center, but I'm abbreviating it to your emotional center, and I'm abbreviating even one more to just your emotions, right? So it's not a surprise if somebody else came in and was like, you got some blockages there, right? Because when I look at your chart, your emotional solar plexus center, which is really just a center of where you experience the energy of your emotions, it's defined, which means in human design, that is a very consistent energy. That is your energy that's radiating within you and moving out. And a lot of people who have defined emotional solar plexuses have a very hard time processing their emotions because they feel that shit really powerfully. An emotional wave of a roller coaster. Does this resonate with you?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
So then over time, people who have a defined emotional solar plexus may have figured out ways to not feel those emotions because it's just too fucking strong. We don't want all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, why?
Right.
Why would we want to be riding waves like Keanu Reeves in Point Break every day? You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I'll fuck with you.
Thank you, because nobody gets that reference anymore. I'm like, y'all all need to be out here watching Point Break, okay? But that's... So it's not a surprise if I'm like, actually, Jared, what you're here to do and what will actually put you in a flow state so much more is if you feel your feelings, let that emotional wave ride out all the way to the shore, because that's where it's calm and you can see everything clearly. You get that clarity. And then when you're in that space, that's when you know if it's a yes or a no.
You were telling me that I've been so hard. I'm like, this is what I'm doing. I'm not feeling these feelings. I'm trying to hit this logical thing and everything like this. You're telling me that I need to embrace the options.
Yes. Yes.
And not only embrace the emotions, embrace my emotions, which I really care.
But here's the thing. Like, I just want to hold you in all kinds of compassion right now, because I'm like, it's no wonder you want to feel your feelings, because that energy is defined. It's very powerful energy. It's very powerful.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But here's what I got to tell. Anybody who has an emotional authority, don't make no decisions in your feelings.
So I need to embrace my emotions, but I should not make decisions while I'm in my feelings.
How
am I navigating? I'm so confused.
Here's the thing. You want to feel your feelings, because have you ever maybe made a decision while you were in your feelings, like sent off a text or fired off an email or said some shit, like popped off at the top of the dome, and then you calmed down and you were like, why did I do that?
That may have happened once or twice. Sure.
Okay. That part. That's why I say, if you have an emotional authority, don't make no decisions in your feelings. Wait until you have felt them and you have processed them and you have let them do your thing, because they're trying to tell you something. And then once you, we're using the Keanu Reeves metaphor, so once you have ridden the emotional wave, you're safely back on the shore where it's calm and you have clarity, then you know how to proceed.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. That makes sense. Because that makes perfect sense. You ride the wave, like you said. You ride the wave, so you don't necessarily just react once you get that first onset of emotions. You have to fill the whole thing out and then make a decision based upon
that. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So, okay. So this would be a great place. Do you want to pause and talk about these manifestors and these reflectors who've been waiting so long to hear about themselves? Or do you want to talk more about you?
It's not all about me. We're using me as a guinea pig. I would love to sit there and have other people who are listening figure stuff out about them as well.
This is why I mentioned generators first, because most of the people on the planet are generators. And a lot of people on the planet have emotional authorities, whether you're a generator, a manifestor, a projector. So it is possible that somebody listening to this is going to resonate with what we're talking about because it's in their chart too. So all roads lead to whatever the expression is, right? Okay. But manifestors are a little bit more rare. There's only about 10% of the population is a manifestor. And they are unique in that they're the only human design aura type who doesn't have to wait. They're the folks who get to take initiative, be proactive, get stuff started. They don't have a defined sacral center like generators and manifesting generators, but they do have a defined throat center, which is all around communication and manifestation, which is why they're here to initiate, because they're here to like spark people with like visionary ideas, communications, like speak very influentially, and even communicate like non-verbally, like with through books and blogs and things like that, right? But because they're really like the fire starters, like they spark other people into action, they're not necessarily here to implement everything that they're initiating and informing people about. They work officially, they work in bursts, and then it's like they go tell it on the mountain and then everybody else goes and executes kind of thing. And then they lay back in the cut and rest, because starting a fire, it takes a lot of energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then reflectors, the rarest of the rare, is like 2% of the population, which, you know, 8 billion people is still millions and millions of people. But there's not a lot of reflectors out there. And they are like the mirrors of the community, right? That's why they're called reflectors, because they have... I remember we talked about your emotional solar plexus is defined, which means that's your energy radiating from within. Reflectors have... all their energy centers are undefined, which means they're just like taking in all the energy from their outer world, from social media, whatever they come in contact with, and they're reflecting it back. So like if a reflector doesn't feel good, or if a reflector is wilding out, feeling sad, it's because their environment in their outer world is not doing so good. But let's be real, the outer world ain't doing so good right now. So like my reflectors... I'm like, boundaries, babe, figure out how to like spiritual cleanse, okay?
Absolutely.
So reflectors, they are so sensitive to all of this external energy. It's not surprising if they like find themselves in the hospital. You know what I mean? So those are the five aura types.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that you wrote that down because It shows me something. It shows me that I think I'm like secretly jealous of projectors and manifestors. Because not knowing my human design, learn some of this stuff now, and I didn't talk about this a little bit before. It was like, you know, to have a projector's energy, and you see how a projector, you know, just like, I'm waiting for it. Yeah, it just, stuff just starts showing up to him. And they just sit there waiting for it. And I'm just like, how the hell are they doing that shit? Why aren't you acting it popping? And then talking to somebody who's a manifestor, where they're just like, they're speaking this stuff and it's coming out and everything. And I'm just like, how am I working so damn hard? And I feel like I'm just moving around and my tires are just moving and I'm not going anywhere. And you got these two groups doing. And I know people. I haven't even looked at the chart, but I know people that are these people, and they just getting shit done effortlessly. Seeming like, and I'm just like, what the hell?
Okay, first of all, we're not comparing our aura types to nobody else's aura types, because every every aura type is different. They have something, they have a different set of tools. Okay. Because I trust and believe, I'll tell you what the projectors and manifestors are out here struggling with right now. And one of the things is looking at you like, man, I wish I had the energy to just be doing. And they don't. Because they don't have a defined sacral like you do. You know what I mean? Okay. It's one of the things I heard years ago, even before I started Human Design. I think it was Michael J. Fox who said it. And you know Michael J. Fox, he has Parkinson's disease, right? And he says something that helped him just come to terms with who he is like, he was like, imagine there's all these different people with all these different disabilities, all these different problems, challenges, childhood traumas, whatever. And they can just throw it all in the middle of a circle. Just whatever it, whatever your burden is, you could just lay it down in the middle of the circle. We're all in the, like standing in the circle. Everything's in the middle. And then you get to pick out of that circle in the middle and pick what you want to deal with. What burden are you willing to carry? And the moral of this story that he's telling is everybody goes back into the center of that circle and picks out what they put in because that's what they know how to deal with. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, I mean, I don't know if that is 100% the best analogy, but it's like, let me just say this. A simpler way to put that is I hear what you're saying, and also comparison is the thief of joy. So I would say for you to look back at you and what's going on in your own operations manual and figure out what you're working with, because you might find that stuff starts to flow to you like never before and you're dodging bullshit like never before because you're actually like embracing your strategy, which is just to wait until you get an option that you want to say yes to because it would feel very satisfying.
Okay. So going back to that and going back to letting the emotions kind of just swim over you and everything and then making a decision based on that. And when I'm making a decision that is in line with myself, and I guess I could ask you this because we're both generators.
Mm-hmm.
What does that feel like? What does that feel like when you like, okay, I made the decision? Because I feel like lately I've been making decisions. I feel like for the last few weeks I've been making decisions, and I was like, some of them I'm just not all the way sold on, and some of them's like, okay, this feels right. And I almost run away from the what feels right because it's so uncommon for me to feel that way. So it's almost scary because I'm obviously because I'm not embracing my emotions. I'm just like, you know, like stopping it all the way together. So how does that, I guess in your opinion, how does that feel?
Well, for me, it's a little bit different because I don't have an emotional authority. I have a sacral authority. So that means I don't advise anybody to make decisions in their feelings, right? But what I turn to help me get a clear yes is my sacral center. And so ultimately, it's like I don't even need to talk to figure out if it's a yes or a no. I could just, I'm at the point now where I've been working with my human design and my sacral center for so many years that I could just be like, no. So the simple answer is the option that you're being presented with turning you on like a generator where you're like, yes, without a doubt, like I don't even need to speak. It's just like all systems go. Like in human design, a lot of people will be like, if it's not a hell yes, it's a no. If it's not a full body yes, it's a no. Well, some people don't have that kind of relationship with their body to be knowing, you know what I mean? But like that's why it starts with, it can start with some really mundane decisions, like really like no brainer. Like, do you want coffee? Right now, do you want coffee?
I could go for a cup of coffee. Yeah.
You could, or you like, yeah, coffee.
Yeah, I just heard that. Yeah, I just heard it. You're right.
Because remember, I said earlier, just because you can, just but even before, like at the top of the episode, just because you can do something, that doesn't mean you should. Would it feel really satisfying to you right now to have a warm, hot, steaming cup of black coffee?
No.
No, No.
No. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Right? So literally, like, you can start playing around with options and remember that you always have options. It's like, okay, do you want to wake up? What time do you wake up in the morning, usually?
6:45.
Do you like waking up at 6:45?
Absolutely not. Okay. Not at all. Not even a little bit.
Okay, so that sensation, see, emotions came up. You started laughing, but also your body kind of moved. You were like, absolutely not. That, right. Whatever that sensation was, like, that's giving you little clues, little spidey sense clues, right? So you could literally keep asking yourself, do I like waking up at 6:45? No. Do I like waking up at 7:45?
Better. Definitely better.
Okay. 8:45?
8:45, I can work with 8:45.
Okay. See how now we're kind of like, well, okay, we're not, yeah. I'm not saying, is it 6:45 or 7:45? You know, but it's always like, is it a yes or a no, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, these very mundane questions are leading up to you understanding, like, how you get to that, oh, hell yes, like, yes, yes. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
I always tell generators, specifically, like, just keep asking yourself those questions. Like, again, go back to your day. I wake up at 6:45. And then what do you do? Do you take a shower? Like, you, like, what's your morning routine? Like, list all of that out and then ask yourself, do I like doing that? Yes or no? And at, by the end of the day, if you're like, wow, my day was really not very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. And I do have a lot of days that don't feel satisfying. So that makes sense. But I think a lot of that has to do with, like, kind of what you said. Like, it's building blocks, right? So, of course, I've talked about it in previous episodes, and maybe I'm not killing it as I should be killing it right now. We're talking about thinking about morning routines and how you do things and how you go from there. So if I'm doing the building blocks where I'm like, okay, this is my morning routine, and now I go through the checklist to figure out, do I like this? It's the hell yes. Mm-hmm. If it's not, then no. So, like, if I wake up in the morning and I decide, all right, I told myself for the month of April, I'm going to start doing 50 push-ups. So, do I like doing 50 push-ups? No, I don't like doing 50 push-ups. But also by head, do I like how my body look after I did 50 push-ups for a month? Hell yeah. So I'm doing 50 push-ups.
Well, okay. So then we get to actually, like, explore even more options, because my question would be, why is doing 50 push-ups important?
That's a good question. For me right now, 50 push-ups is, you know, I'm just trying to look better, trying to feel better. It's pretty much an ego thing at this point, just so I get the arms and this chest pop. You know what I mean?
So, okay, so then, fair. But then as a generator, I'd always be like, what other options are there for you to get that same result? If you don't really like doing 50 push-ups a day, what else could you be doing? Could you be doing biceps? Could you be, like, free weights? Could you be doing machines? Could you be easing up on yourself because your standards for your physical appearance maybe are not necessarily the most compassionate?
They're not. So, okay.
I'm like, something's coming up, right? But it's always the option. So again, literally, it's like, first of all, if doing 50 push-ups a day, it does not feel like a satisfying use of your energy, then let it go. Then it's a no. Or maybe it's a no for every day. Maybe what about 4 days a week?
That's it.
Yeah, that sounds better. Sound a lot better.
Yeah. And so here you're like, oh, okay. Like, I could see it in your face. There was like a lightness. Like, there was like a weight that had been lifted off of you a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think for me, I want to talk overall picture because I want people to get really involved in it. But I think for me, looking at that, I'm like, there's a weight, there's a pressure that I always have that I put on myself. And so it goes back to how I'm governing things, where I'm not dealing with my emotions per se. I am dealing with other people's stuff, and I'm putting other people's emotions before me, and that's what's encouraging my decision making
process. Listen, okay, so I'm looking at your chart, and I'm like, I could tell you why you might be feeling that way, right? And also, this is what's so interesting about human design is everybody is told these messages at some point in their life, and sometimes lots of points in their lives, of how they're supposed to behave, what they should be doing, et cetera, et cetera. And it's usually the exact opposite of what they actually want to be doing, what would feel good. And it's the exact opposite of what's in their chart. And that's why when you start studying your human design, it's so validating, because it's like, oh, I was doing that when I was like 3 years old. I was doing that when I was 7 years old. And then somebody came in and said, don't do that. And so then the journey is release all of the stories that don't serve you and get back to that little kid that you were when you were 3 and when you were 7, when you actually knew who you were and you were acting accordingly.
I like that. It's like always getting in tune and getting in touch with your inner child and having
100%.
Yeah, 100%.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
so
go ahead.
No,
I don't know where we're going.
You opened up some things for me, but I guess now I want to get people to really try to understand it and really embrace the conversation, but also embrace what human design means. So how can we use human design to help you with your own personal development, your own, you know, you improving yourself?
Yeah. Okay. So first, I think when people come to human design, they're at a crossroads where they're like, whatever I've been doing has not been working up until this point. I don't really know which direction to head in. And so then you can look at your human design. And again, going back to that strategy and that authority, it's giving you a way to help you start making decisions. It's giving you your own step-by-step process. Like, this is a starting point, right? And then through that, you start reflecting of like, oh, well, there, I can think of a bunch of different scenarios in my life where I was not doing that. So that makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? Like, for me, as when I started with human design, I was just really frustrated. And like, and as a generator, when you're feeling emotion of frustration, that's an indication that you're not using your energy correctly for you. And every aura type has their own emotion. That's like, this is a clue that the vibe is off, that your flow is off, right? So it was like my life, for me personally, it was like, my life should not be frustrating all the time. What's wrong? And then when I learned that my strategy was say yes or say no to options that feel satisfying, I remember when I was like around 20, 21 years old, I got advice from a loved one who was like, say yes to every opportunity that comes your way when it comes to your work and your professional life, because you never know what was going to lead to the next thing. That is literally the worst advice you could give a generator, because we're not supposed to say yes to everything. We're only supposed to say yes to the stuff that feels satisfying. So, you know, it's like, if you keep to zoom out to the listener, if you keep finding yourself in situations where it's like you're constantly meeting roadblocks, or you're constantly feeling like you're not feeling joy or satisfaction, or you're just like, why is this just not working for me? And I feel like life is working for other people. That's the time to be like, okay, let's look at this human design chart. Let's look at your operational manual, because maybe you're not operating to like an optimal point, right? I think it also invalidates a lot of people, what they already knew to be true about themselves. They've had moments in life where they're like, oh, I was doing my strategy and authority. I just didn't know it. I just thought it was a coincidence. And I'm like, actually, it's not a coincidence. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. It fills people with a lot of compassion. Like, we talked a little bit about the energy centers and stuff like that, and things that are defined, things that are undefined. When I talk to someone like a reflector who's completely 100% has no energetic definition, and they're just like an open window, energetically just wide open out here in these streets, I'm like, one, boundaries. Right. Two, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. You just, it's sticking to you energetically. We need to get you some spiritual grounding practices. And three, like, you're we're all, like, just zooming out again, we're all meant to march to the beat of our own drums, not what everybody's telling us to do. That's why it's like your human design literally is like, yo, you have this unique toolkit that's just your toolkit. Nobody else has it. Nobody else can work with it like you can. But let's figure out how to help you work with that shit so that you're not trying to use hammers to, like, you know, screw in light bulbs and stuff. Like, if you know what I mean, it gets to be easy.
I am literally used to having screwing light bulbs. I feel like that's what's happening right now. I love what you're saying about, you know, when people are at a crossroads, that's when they kind of goes towards human design, so they can kind of give them a sense of figuring things out and put them on the right path. So, my chair moves up a little bit. I lean in because I know you're about to drop some shit, so I'll be ready.
Listen.
I'm like, okay, what are we talking about?
That felt very definitive. Like, I heard you say that. I was like, there's more than one way to live this life. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know what I mean? I just want everybody to feel like human design is a tool that you have at your disposal, but it's not the only tool. So if none of this resonates with you, that's 100% okay. And it's not like the end all be all. Like, I'm like, I tell everybody who comes in to do a session with me, if you're not already doing therapy, do therapy. If you're not already doing somatics work, do somatics work. You know what I mean? Like, it's all in the toolkit. But for me, human design was just a thing that made sense. Like, I, up until very recently, I would look at astrology and be like, don't get this. This is Greek to me. What language is this? You know what I mean? But I saw human design and I was like, this makes sense. So this is, you know, what I move forward with. So.
I like that. All right. Now, obviously, I could talk to you all day about this, and I probably may pick your brain as we stop. But you have helped so much, and kind of just opened up my eyes to some things. And I'm hoping that with listeners, it's resonating with them. So, where can people who are feeling this get in contact with you so you can help guide them, take them to a whole nother level?
Yeah, so everything you need is on my website, KarenPage.com. Again, that's Karen with a Y, Page with an I. That's my username on Instagram and Threads. I'm over there the most right now. So even if you just have questions, you want to be pointed in the right direction, you know what? I love answering questions. So just hit me up. And if you want to do a reading, all kinds of stuff. Like I said, it's all on my website.
Yeah. And all that will be in the show notes because Karen helped me get my life together, y'all. Look, human design, I know I'm always pushing y'all towards different things that y'all had never even heard of, or y'all don't want to really experience, or like, what the hell is Jared talking about? But like, that we are here to change perspectives. We're here to open your minds up. So it's about damn time you do human design. Karen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Great presence.
I have to have you back. I'm already ready to have you back, and you ain't even left yet.
Listen, thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me talk. I have a completely undefined throat center, so I can talk until you tell me to stop. And we're generators, so we have a hard time knowing when to say when. So let's do it. This time, let's stop. Let's stop right here, right now. That feels good.
Okay. Thank you for joining me this week on It's About Damn Time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.